For those in Christ, we are children of the greatest father in the history of history. I don't know if y'all heard that or not. If you are in Christ Jesus, then you are a child of the greatest father in the history of history, right? Father's Day wouldn't be Father's Day without our Father in heaven, our Creator, God. And I think he's worth celebrating because, man, if it wasn't for him, where would I be? If I'd have had that father to spank my butt back and, get back over there. But not only that, to love on me and to affirm me and confirm me and to give me confidence, to give me strength, to give me a purpose, to give me destiny, to give me hope in a future. And maybe I'm just speaking on behalf of myself, but that's a bit of why my tears fall a little bit this morning, because I think about my daddy. He's not here with me, but he did those things for me, and it reminds me of God's heart for me, too. And if you find it in your heart this morning to celebrate God, please don't hold it back. Open your mouth up and say hallelujah. Sing his praises, because, man, he's worthy of it. And without him, probably everybody in this room wouldn't be here right now. Amen? Amen, man. We've been talking about his goodness the past few weeks through Hebrews, finding and revealing Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Gino. Gino be going in on these little pamphlets, man. I don't know if y'all be getting these, but please pick these up, because they will definitely take you there. They will take you there. But thank you, Gino, for doing this. We've been revealing Jesus through Hebrews, and we've been talking a lot about what Jesus has done for us in regards to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And Tyler really unpacked that last week very well, if I might say, in challenging us as well as asking us what covenant are we living in with God? Are we still in this old covenant? Are we still being a religious person? Are we still trying to work our way into God's good graces? Are we trying to perform for him? Or are we just basking in his love and acceptance for us as a father accepts his child? Because I almost burnt my mom and daddy's house down, and they still love me and fed me that night. Now I'm like, what? You know, I'm playing with lighters in the house and breaking windows and stuff. Like, y'all still feeding me? Y'all still let me live here? Like, what? Like, he's like, yes, we do. Because we love you and our mercy is good for you. And Tyler kind of unpacked that last week and asked us, man, are we trying to earn our way into God's favor, earn our way into heaven, work our way into heaven and trying to live and fulfill all these laws? Or are we letting our Father come and say, you are accepted, you are loved, and you're forgiven? That's a really big pivotal question in the life of a believer, because it can affect your quality of life and how you experience it. And we're going to continue to kind of dive in that a little bit this morning. And I'm going to try to keep it together as I do this, man. So y'all pray for me, because I really want to reveal God's heart to you guys this morning. And I want to do it in a way that's pleasing to him. But before we get into that, we're going to get into Miss Emmy Klein and her testimony. I missed it on Tuesday, and I hate I missed it, but I get a chance to experience it this morning. Y'all welcome her to the stage as she comes up, Miss Emmy Klein. And as she's coming, I want to say shout out again to the Rodriguez family that's meeting this morning. They sent me some pictures. They are in the house getting it in. They're worshiping with us this morning. And just to clear up maybe a small bit of confusion, guys, these Sunday morning satellite groups are not a replacement for a small group. The Sunday morning satellite groups that meet, they're doing the worship experience this in Sunday morning. They're just doing it in a home together in a more intimate fashion. So the Sunday morning experience, if somebody asks you to come join their Sunday morning satellite group, it's not a replacement for any small group that you're in. They're not asking to pull you away from a small group that you're participating in right now or not. They're just saying, hey, at 9:30 on this Sunday, can you join us and worship with us at this location? And we're going to do the exact same thing we do at church. We're going to do it at home, and we're going to be able to be more relational with each other and experience. So don't reject them if they ask you. They're not trying to pull you away from their small group. They just want you to experience the Sunday morning worship experience in a different level at a different location. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to give it over to Emmy, and y'all tune in to her.
Hello. I'm Emmy. Okay, sorry. You'll have to excuse my Minnie Mouse voice. It gets shaky when I get nervous. Okay, so I was raised going to a Presbyterian church. Our parents took us regularly. We were faithful members of what was affectionately known as the Frozen Chosen. My dad was a deacon and an elder, and my mom was a kingdom servant in every way. And while we had our struggles, as every family does, they worked hard to give us a good life and to make sure that we knew about Jesus and God. Outside of the home, I struggled with friends. I was an awkward kid, and I just didn't have that many friends. My later years in high school, I did find some through sports and through theater. But I was always searching for that best friend, that close friendship that I saw other people had. I really, really desired that. When I was 16 years old, I prayed for Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And then when I was 18 years old at Young Life Camp, I felt the Holy Spirit moving for the first time in my life. And I never wanted to lose that feeling. It was incredible. Well, then I went to college, and I found friends, like, right away that just liked me for who I was. And I'd never felt that before, and it was awesome, and it blew me away. And so I foolishly thought, okay, I can do this. I can walk with one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus. And it's just not possible to walk the wide road and the narrow road at the same time, but I tried. You see, I was so desperate for those earthly friendships that I neglected my Jesus friend who was right here waiting for me the whole time. I was so desperate for worldly friendships that I was willing to drive an hour and a half away from home by myself to go to a birthday party for someone I barely knew, because I just knew that we would be lifelong friends. And I did at that party what I did at a lot of others. I drank, particularly way too much. And I ended up getting sick and passing out. And some nice people carried me into a room at one point so I could sleep it off. But they didn't realize another guy followed us in there as well. And after they left, he tried to forcefully take advantage of the situation. Thankfully, it turned out okay, because somehow, even though I didn't have the strength to stand because I was so inebriated, I did find the strength after a little while to pull myself off the bed. I hit the floor and crawled into the other room and sought refuge under a weight bench, and that's where I spent the night. So the pursuit of worldly things led me underneath the weight bench in a room full of strangers far away from home. And it led the prodigal son slopping for food in a pig trough far away from home. But thankfully, just like the prodigal son returned home and found his father waiting with open arms, my eternal father welcomed me back after that, and time again, because you would think I would have learned from that one. But have y'all ever known a little kid who just has to make the same mistake over and over again because they're that stubborn, and they just have to learn the hard way until they finally figure it out? I was that kid. I still am that kid in some ways. But God, he's that loving father that Brock mentioned. He's always just been there welcoming back when I turn with my head hanging in shame. Walking this road of sanctification is what I call it. It's painful sometimes. You see, we're not supposed to be of the world, but we are in the world, and so we're not going to escape all of the heartache that comes with that. And in my experience, the world's brought me to the bedside of a friend dying of cancer. It's brought me to the funeral of a really sweet young lady who was violently murdered. It's brought me my mom dying at the negligent hands of the paramedics who were supposed to save her. But what I've learned, when you walk in that new covenant, when you walk that narrow road with Jesus, he brings you hope in your heartache and peace through the pain and grace and mercy after every transgression. He gives you the ability to leave behind your past regrets and your mistakes and just walk in the freedom of his glory and his grace, walking in the freedom of that new covenant that we've been learning about. And so he's blessed me with a husband who is my best friend and two kids. Now I look at them and I'm getting emotional. Ooh, I'm sorry. But the greatest honor of my life is being their mom. And I hope that as a compass, I'm always pointing them to Christ. So that's what Jesus has done for my life. Thank you.
Man, hey, it's okay to be emotional about this stuff, man. Hey, I was crying. I had to walk out of here earlier. I was crying, man. Like, it's something about living life and knowing God, the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups and downs, the aches, the pains, the joys, the successes. Man, be emotional about this thing. It's okay to let that stuff out, man. Hey, I cry sometimes. I look at my kids, think I don't deserve this. Look at them. Look at my wife. Look at my family. You know, look at where God brought me from and where he brought me to. And man, Jesus wept. Isn't that the shortest scripture in the in the Bible? Was he wept. He cried. He missed his friend. Y'all miss anybody lost their father? I miss my daddy, man. It's okay for me to feel sad about that and cry. There's no condemnation. Or nobody's going to say you're a wimp or you're, hey, man, hey, let them tears out. Let it out. It's better out than in. Do you agree? Because pressure busts pipes. You ever heard that before? Pressure busts pipes, man. Stop holding in that worship. Stop holding in that frustration. Stop holding in those tears. Stop holding in your emotions. Stop bottling all those things up and let that stuff out in a organic, good way, right? And allow God to get into those spaces and massage that stuff. That's where real healing and wholeness comes from. And you know what that's called, guys? That's called a relationship with God. And that ain't nothing religious about that. If you in the house this morning and you practicing religion, please stop it. God is not in the religion business. He's in a relationship business, not religious. And that's all we've been talking about, right, Tyler? That's what we've been trying to preach. And I hope it's being conveyed in that way. Sorry, my ring alarm is going off. Let me turn that off real quick. But we've been talking about this relationship that God has with us. I'm going to try to read these scriptures. Man, what did you give me, bro? I can't read this. Can you? I need some, need a magnifying glass to read these scriptures, man. I'm going to attempt to read Hebrews 8 to 13. Golly, bro. Maybe I can just read it off. Let me just use this, bro. God. I don't have good vision. I ain't gonna lie to you. God didn't give me the 2020. He gave me something else. Okay. So I'm gonna try to unpack this in a unique way this morning. I hope that y'all get it, man. I just see a lot of what Emmy said, which is amazing, your testimony and how it connects. Because I hadn't heard that. I didn't get to hear it Tuesday, but as I'm hearing it, I'm seeing the connections. God is really focusing on this relationship aspect. And I want y'all to get that this morning. Verse 8, for he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel. Somebody say new covenant. And with the house of Judah. So he's speaking to the Hebrews, right? He says, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. What was going on in Egypt? Slavery, right? Did Tanya sing a song, I'm no longer a slave to what? Sin. Have you been a slave to sin before? Has Jesus ever took you by the hand or maybe brought you out of sin? Emmy, do you think that God took you by your hand when you felt like you were powerless in some kind of way? You woke up and moved and fought your way. Do you think maybe God gave you a little bit of something to get up and crawl in a fight and he brought you, right? For they did not continue in my covenant, You said, man, I knew God, but I tried to. And God said, no, I got a covenant for you. I got promises for you. I got this for you. I got that for you. And sometimes we don't continue in the covenant with God. Are you agreeing with that? Are you seeing yourself in the scriptures? I see myself in the scriptures. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I show no concern for them, declares the Lord. Sin separates us from God. When we break our vows with God, when we break the trust with God, it separates us. It creates distance, and it gets to the point where we say, if you don't want me, I'll stay right here until you want me. Prodigal son. If you want to leave, son, I'll let you leave. I'm not going nowhere, but I have to let you. Y'all seeing that in the scriptures? For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Somebody say hallelujah. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Amen. What's becoming old is obsolete. Religion is becoming obsolete. Performance religion is becoming obsolete. Trying to do everything and perform everything and earn our way into God's good graces and to be rigid and stiff and be in a box with how we are to experience God is becoming old and vanishing. And God is saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing in you, around you, in your world, in your life, in this thing called true Christianity. And we get a chance to be a part of that if we would so desire it. This morning, I want to talk about renewed vows. Somebody say renewed vows. We're going to focus on relationships this morning because true Christianity is a relationship with the living God. It's not a religious thing. It's not something that we fit into in a cult or a group. It's called experiential intimacy with our Father, with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And we've acknowledging Father's Day today and the connection to God. What's the only way to the Father? The only way to the Father, to experience the Father, the fatherness, if that's a word, or the Father and his characteristics, is through Jesus Christ. And can I enlighten you this morning? A relationship with Jesus Christ is a marriage. If you didn't know that, if you don't know, now you know, you know. If you turn into Revelation 19, you'll see where we as believers of the church are referred to as the bride of Christ. Now, some of y'all fellas may think that that's a little awkward. Like, I'm a bride? Wait, hold up. I'm a man. I'm a bride of Christ. Yeah, you're a bride, brother. Put your pride down. Ladies are like, yes, yes. So I've been waiting for this my whole life. Right? No, but the relationship with Christ is a marriage. It's a union. We're the bride of Christ and he's the head. Just think about this morning as you think about the dynamics of a relationship. And if you're single and you're not married, think about it if you're dating or you're engaged or, you know, you got somebody that you're interested in, right? The male or the head or the husband, he loves and gives himself for his bride. Do y'all agree with that, fellas? I hope y'all are doing that. If not, you know. maybe need to get with it. And for the other side of the spectrum, the ladies, they respect and submit to their husbands as the head and the leader, not because he's a dominant figure or because he roars or he barks or he flexes on them. No, it's not a submission in that way. They submit to him as head and leader because he has proven himself trustworthy. He's proven to them that he has her best interest at hand and that her well-being is at the forefront of his mind, and he's willing to do anything it takes to make sure that his bride, his queen, is lifted high and esteemed and precious and valued and shining and looking like gold or diamonds, because her glory represents him. And so out of respect for the sacrifice of the husband, we submit. Does this kind of sound like what we are with Christ, is that he's proven himself trustworthy and he's given himself for us. And out of that love and respect for him, we want to have a heart to submit to him and say, man, I trust you, whatever your will is, because I know that you are for me. Y'all feeling that? That's a marriage. Does it sound like marriage? Marriage is an eternal covenant. I can't take this ring off, I guess, because I don't... I wish I could, but I can't. I shouldn't, though, because it should stay on. Marriage is an eternal covenant. This ring, it doesn't have an ending. Any of y'all got a ring on? Look at your ring. Take a peek at it. Does it have an end where it stops and it separates? We keep hearing this language, covenant, all that, because it represents something deeper than just words. It's a covenant. And marriage is spiritual. What we're doing today in this room is spiritual. You may not feel it. You may not have goosebumps, or you may not, oh my God, I felt the wind of God blow over me. I felt something. You may not feel that all the time. But what we're doing in the room when Tanya plays those keys and worships, that's a spiritual activity. When we read through the word of God like we did earlier, that's a spiritual activity. When we pray, that's a spiritual. When we get married, anybody been married in the house? Did you know that on that wedding day, that was a spiritual act that was going on? When y'all stood before each other together and y'all looking in each other's eyes and y'all are saying the vows and making these commitments and these promises and this and that. Even if you was in the courtroom and you wasn't in a church with a pastor, you weren't making a commitment before a man. You were making a commitment or a covenant before God in a spiritual act, because marriage is spiritual. God designed it, and God is a what? Spirit. And so what God has established is always spiritual. And we're talking about old covenant, new covenant. We're talking about old spiritual promises, new spiritual promises, old spiritual commitments, new spiritual commitments. And I challenge you this morning and encourage you, as well as entice you, to begin to change your perspective and my perspective on how we think about our walk with God. If we begin to change our perspective on how we think about our walk with God and our experience with God, not as a piece of our life or what we do from time to time, or a Sunday morning experience, or at night before I go to bed, I pray, or before I eat, I do this or do that. When we change our perspective from that to say, I'm in a marriage with Jesus Christ and we are eternally connected forever, I have a responsibility to be intimate in this relationship because I'm in a covenant with him. And it's not a light switch that we turn off on, because if you're married or in a relationship right now, if you're not always tuned in, what's going to happen? Y'all know how I get down, Crossroads. Come on now. Y'all talk to me. If you turn your light switch off in your marriage, what's going to happen? If you're dating and you got a boyfriend and girlfriend and you don't call them or talk to them for months, what's going to happen? So what's going to happen if we have a relationship with God and we got the off switch off? I'm not really, I digress as I go through my message. I'm sorry. We're talking about covenant and promises. Well, what is a promise, right? When y'all, when you ask your boyfriend or girlfriend to go out, what was the verbiage that you used? How did you get to the point to where you were able to say, hey, do you want to be my boyfriend? You want to be my girlfriend? I love you. It was probably some promises involved there. When you begin to pursue marriage and your wedding day came and you wrote down some vows and all of that, what did those things say? Y'all give me, throw something at me. What did it say? Just give me some examples. Oh, y'all go. I'm about to make some of y'all get in trouble. You don't remember what you promised me when we got married? You don't remember what you told me? Yeah? Yeah? Probably something along the lines like, Lane, I promise to be faithful to you. I promise to build you up. I promise to take care of you. I promise to serve you and to love you and to wash your dirty underwear and to clean the house and do this and to do that and it was probably filled with promises and commitments to the other person. Would y'all agree? Because you're entering into a covenant agreement, and it was filled with promises, assurances that you were going to do a particular thing or particular things so that you guys could stay connected and stay valued and stay plugged in with each other, right? So the promises fit into covenant. The covenant is promises made by God. When we think about spiritual activity and we think about these covenants that we've been talking about in the scriptures, covenants are spiritually charged promises by God to you and you and you. And you, and you, and you. And he's telling us things that are involved in his promises. I promise to give myself for you. I promise to forgive you. I promise to be merciful to you. I promise to never leave nor forsake you. I promise to advise you and to give you wisdom. And I promise to give you power and give you authority, my authority. I promise to do, and I promise this, and I promise this, I promise this. Why don't you imagine yourself visually at the altar with Jesus? I'm not playing. I want you to imagine. And he's saying, I vow to you to do this. I vow to you. I promise. And he's making these promises to you. He's entering into a covenant with you, and it involves relationship. He's thinking about his future with you. He's thinking about building a life with you and building a family with you and establishing a legacy with you and a bloodline that would go for ages and ages. And he's looking at us and he's saying, I'm entering into a covenant with you. This is not a religious practice. This is me giving my whole self to you, and I'm promising you the world. Will you accept? Because even at the altar, you have the choice to be like, nope. It ain't a forcible, it's not forced. Do y'all agree? It's just a vow, it's an opportunity, right? Now, the difference between covenant and contracts, I want to kind of paint a picture with this. Covenants and contracts are different, because who's bought a car? Was it a very intimate experience? You know, walking into T-Mobile to get a new cell phone. Is it a very intimate experience where they just, I vow to you to give you unlimited service and to unlimited minutes. And like, it ain't nothing really like intimate or spiritual about that. Buying a car is not really a spiritual activity, right? The spiritual activity happens before. You're like, bro, Lord, I pray that these people don't hustle me, Lord. Please don't let these people manipulate me and get me into something like, that's the spiritual activity right there. And the contract is just, it is what it is. It ain't nothing spiritual about it. But the covenant that God has presented to us, it affects our values. It affects our beliefs. It impacts the trajectory of your life, your future. It affects your physical life, your spiritual life, your emotion life, your family, your legacy, everything. Are those things important to y'all? I don't know about you. That's when I hear that kind of stuff, that's important. I'm like, wow, this thing called a relationship with Christ is more than a Sunday morning experience. It's more than me trying to stop cussing. It's more than me stop trying to, you know how we knick-knack, paddywhack the Bible? Man, I need to stop doing this. And you get into that routine of performing and we forget the other aspect of stop doing that. Stop doing that to God. Did you know he already accepts you? For those that are married, do you know your wife or your husband already accepted? If they didn't want you, they would have been gone already. You accepted already. Don't get into the performance. It's about intimacy. It's about intimacy. This thing, covenant, is so essential to our life that if we don't get it and we don't really tap into it, all those things I talked about legacy and physical and spiritual health and wellness and values and belief and future and the right now, all the things that God has set into place is so important that if we don't tap into it, all those things could vanish in an instant. And that's why God put so many boundaries around our lives, not so that he could be a killjoy, but because he understands how important covenant is and how important being locked into the marriage is. Did y'all see in Hebrews, he said, they did not continue in my covenant and he had to back away. Did y'all see that? I think that was verse, where's my magnifying glass? verse 9, put verse 9 back up there. He put boundaries in our life because he didn't want verse 9 to happen. It says, for they did not continue in my covenant, so I showed no concern from them. He don't want to back away from us. He also put those covenant boundaries in because he didn't want the Emmy situation to happen. And I'm pretty sure there's other Emmy stories. I got plenty of Emmy stories where I connected with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. I became something called unequally yoked, entering into covenant relationships with people that I should not have entered into, and at that point caused me to be pulled away from God and out of the marriage of God, basically committing adultery. Because when you cheat on God or you cheat in a marriage or you step out, are you committing adultery? Is that okay? Y'all okay with that? Anybody that's boyfriend, girlfriend, or man? But what do? We get connected to things that pull us out of the marriage with God. And now we over here doing our own thing. And God's like, you're supposed to be with me. Nah, I'm over here doing it. He said, no, don't go over there. Don't do that. Don't fornicate before marriage. Not because I'm trying to prevent something. It's because I'm trying to protect our covenant. You know, don't connect with those type of people. Don't enter into covenant. When we enter into covenant, good or bad, it's gonna affect our future. And that's why Tyler's message was so important, because if we're in a marriage, right, and I'm going to try to paint this in this way. If we're in a marriage with someone and we're not evolving with them, if we're in a marriage or a relationship with someone and it's stale, there's no learning going on, there's no growing going on, there's no experiences going on, there's no new things going on, there's no growth. There's that. If this person, one of the people in the marriage, let's say the husband is in a marriage and he's saying, hey, babe, I want to do X, Y, Z, and I see our future going here and going there, and I want to do this and do that and do that, and we're here, and the other person is here just saying, nah, I'm just cool right here. And they said, come on, I got so many great things, I got so many new things that we're going to do, so many adventures we're going to go on, so many new experiences, so many things that I want you to know about me, and I want to know about you, and I want to figure this out, I want to try this new restaurant, I want to do this. Now I'm cool with McDonald's. I'm cool just staying at home. I'm cool just. How do y'all think that makes this person feel when they're committed and they're making new commitments to you and new promises and new vows, and they want to go further and farther than y'all ever gone before. They want to go deeper, and they want to do, and the other person is just kind of back here like, ah, yeah. How y'all think that makes them feel? Huh? So in this covenant relationship with God, how do you think it makes him feel when he's presenting the new covenant to you every day? And he's saying, come on, come on, let's do this. Let's connect, let's reconnect, let's go deeper, let's go, let's grow together. Let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do that. And we're like, I don't know if I really want to be in that. I don't know if I really like. Are y'all kind of connecting with how does that make God feel? Did you know that God has feelings? Did you know that God cares? In a marriage, you care about, hopefully you do, you care about where y'all are at. You care about where you're going. You care about how you're building. You care about how the covenant is going. Even when it hurts, you care and you want to build. And God cares, and he want to build with each one of us today. I believe he's speaking to the hearts of some of us today. But the beautiful thing is, and the good news is that God doesn't dump us or divorce us like sometimes humans can. Because as human beings, we have the choice or the option to say, you know what, we've tried this for 10, 12, 13 years. This is just not working out. I'm going to go pay $100, get this divorce certificate. Sayonara, you can go your way, I can go my way, and we can try to figure this out because I thought we were soulmates and we not soulmates, right? Humans can do that because it's almost like we don't have a conscience and we don't have a problem with snipping it off. We can just, but God has a problem with that. If you read through the Bible, God says, I hate divorce. I hate divorce. He only allows divorce on certain parameters. And I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole nother sermon. But God hates divorce, and he will never divorce you because he chose you. You are his bride. He will not throw you away. He will not dump you. But he wants to have an intimate marriage with you. And he wants you to come along with him on this new journey as he renews his vows with us. Now I want to ask this question, and this is personal. Y'all make this personal this morning. Which portion of this relationship with God do you find yourself in right now, right? So maybe you're one that you're not even in a relationship with God because he's just not your type. God, he's just not my type, girl. He just, I don't know, the way he talk, his personality. I like tall men. He need to be taller than me. I can't even really get with. Maybe he's not your type. Maybe you're not even in a relationship with him. Well, maybe you are the person. Maybe y'all flirting right now. Girl, he look good. She look good. I want to go out. Maybe I'll go out with him. He said he want to take me out to the movies. Maybe I go out. I just see where he's at and what he's talking about. And maybe, I don't know. You know, maybe that's you. Maybe that's you with God, right? Or maybe you're on the honeymoon phase. Maybe you said yes, the date went good, and you said yes, yes to God. Yes, we're going to get married, and we're going to do our vows, and we're going to say yes to you. I'm committing to you. Yes, Jesus, I'm committing to you. Things are all cotton candy and rainbows, and you're on the cruise with Jesus, and you just blessed. Yes, God, I'm saved. God, I'm saved. Salvation. I got salvation in Christ. Fellas, we like, yeah, man, I got her, man. She put the ring on. She said, yes, I threw my bait out there. She caught it. Now I got her. We in there. Yeah, we going to Jamaica. We going to go on a crew. Everything just beautiful. You done started the relationship, and you in there committed. Maybe that's where you are right now. All right? Or maybe a few years have went by, and maybe you're committed now, but you're not fully present in the relationship. Maybe you're faithful, you know, you're not cheating, you're not out cheating, you're not out committing adultery, you're not out distracted by other things, but maybe just the routine of life, the routine of marriage, y'all had kids and all these things, you're not really emotionally connected anymore. Maybe you a bit distant. Maybe you're sleeping in separate rooms because things have gotten in the middle of the relationship. Maybe you are emotionally closed off due to things that have happened. And maybe the honeymoon phase ain't really the honeymoon phase no more. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's just, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, we've been together for about 3-4 years. Yeah, yeah, we good. Yeah, we got some kids together and et cetera, et cetera. But that's it. Or maybe you're in this phase where maybe life has happened through the marriage and maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you're self-focused now. You're just focused on yourself. Maybe you're distracted by your own desires in the marriage and you gotten to the point where you feel like, I don't even know if I'm in love with this anymore because I got other things that I want to do and this person's not really meeting the needs or this or that. So I'm just going to focus on me and what I want to do and I could care less about what my other significant other want. I'm going to just focus on me and what I want to do and could care less about how what I do affects the other person in relationship. Maybe you're in that self-focused mode where you fall in and out of, do I really want to be here? I don't really want to be here. Maybe you find yourself there. Or maybe you find yourself in wholehearted oneness with God, where you're totally transparent, you're enjoying different levels of intimacy with him, you're feeling fulfilled, the joy and the love is there. You may have some issues and stuff, but you're not fighting with each other. Contentious, you're not fighting. You're not fighting against each other, but you're fighting with each other. How can we resolve it? How can we work through it? How can we move forward? How can we do X, Y, and Z so that we can propel our relationship to the next? Maybe you there. Where are you in the marriage with Christ today? Do a self-evaluation. Where do you find yourself sitting in the covenant with God? Because we all are somewhere. If you're in the room, you're somewhere in this marriage. You chose to show up. You chose to come to the worship service. You chose to identify yourself in the relationship with God. We are all somewhere, but God's renewing vows with us and saying, I want more. I desire more. I hunger for more. I gave my life up for more of you. I gave my life up for intimacy with you. Now, are the things that are holding us where we are in a relationship, the things that are holding us back in a relationship, the things that are preventing intimacy, maybe we find ourselves in some of those parts of the relationship where it's not all peaches and cream and it's not all going the way it needs to go in regards to intimacy, in regards to health of the relationship. Are those things intentional? Or are there really true obstacles and barriers from preventing the marriage from thriving? Is he not your type and you're not entering into the relationship because you think something's better than him? Are you making him jump through hurdles and hoops to prove himself to you when he's already proven himself trustworthy? He's already came through in the clutch. You're dating him and you keep dating him, you keep dating him, you keep dating him, you keep dating him. At what point are you going to get married? You've been dating for 5-6 years. At what point are you going to finally commit to him? How much more does he have to prove to say that he's for you? But you won't want to relinquish or submit more because you're scared and you don't want to give in. Maybe you're not being fully present, or you're being distant, or you're being closed off to him. Is it intentional? Is it because you don't really like the marriage? You don't want more of the marriage? Is there really an obstacle that's preventing you from being deep? Is there really something about being selfish and self-focused and self-driven that is really keeping you from God? Or is that just a cop-out for us to say, I got to do this and this and this and this. I don't have time to do all those things with God. Or maybe we're like that stale relationship where we're just stuck in our old ways and content with the old covenant. I just like how it used to be. I don't want to go on any new adventures. I don't want to go further. I don't want to know more about you. I don't want to be more intimate with you. I'm content with just doing this the old way, the way it was when we first began. I'm just content with that. I don't want to go further. I don't want to go farther. I don't want to go deeper. Is it really an obstacle or is it really an intentional cop out to say, I don't want this because God wants it. God wants you. He established this covenant, this marriage, because he wants you. He wants all of you. And again, all these things affect our spiritual condition. It affects our families. It affects our bloodlines. It affects our legacy. the same way it did in the Old Testament. And y'all, anybody that's ever read through the Old Testament, did y'all ever notice how important family, bloodline, and legacy was? Did y'all know the only reason we have the Gospels and the Torah and all that is because family, oral traditions, and people who had the experiences with God, they wrote it down and they passed it down from family to family to family to family to family to family. And the blessing of that has crept its way into all the Gentile nations. And now all the Gentile nations are blessed because family, bloodline, and history was preserved through the covenant of God. And he's trying to establish the same thing with you. Did you know God thinks that this covenant and marriage with you is important because your children's children need to hear about the marriage that you had with him? They need to see pictures of the marriage. They need to see experiences and hear experiences and testimonies of the marriage. The same way you'll tell your children about how you and your wife did X, Y, and Z. And how you'll show pictures in a family album book of how you and your wife and your kids did X, Y, and Z, and you're passing it down. It's so important. God wants the covenant with you to be extraordinary because your legacy depends on it, and your life right now depends on it. He knew the relationships of not learning each other because in verse 10, put verse 10 up for me real quick. He knew the results of a relationship of two people not learning from each other is so important. He knew that we would grow apart if we don't learn, that he chose to step in and say what in verse 10? I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He don't want you to grow apart from him, so much so that he said, I'm going to write my heart's desires and my vows on your heart. So that in every moment and every day of your life, you can remember my love for you. You can remember my pursuit of you. You can remember who I am because I'm for you. I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. I don't want it to just be a book that you carry around like this or something that you have on your phone every day that you say, yeah, I got the Bible. Yeah, I got. He said, no, I want it to be in you. So I'm going to write it on your heart. I'm going to put it in your mind. The center portion of your physical and spiritual life, the place of your passions, your desires, your appetites, your affections, your purposes, your will, your character, I want to put my vows in that place on your heart. Because I want you to remember my covenant promise to you. Verse 11 says, if you put verse 11 up, and I'm wrapping up, Tanya, wherever you are. Verse 11 says, the bottom part of verse 11 is what I want to focus on. Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. They shall all know me. That's what I want to focus on. For they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. That word know means intimacy. That word know means experience. I want you to experience me. Not just know about me head knowledge. Yeah, I know about Jesus. Yeah, I know about him. He gave his life, the cross. He bled, I'm forgiven. No, I want to know the ins and outs and ups and the downs. I want you to know everything about me. I want you to experience me. I don't want you to just say you know the Bible or you know the scriptures. I want you to experience this relationship because those who are in relationship with somebody else, do you want to just know the person's name or do you want to know them? Do you want to just know your husband? You want to just know your wife? You want to just know your boyfriend, know your girlfriend? You want to just know what school they go to or their last name or their height and their weight? Or do you want to really know them? He knew the results of being selfish as well. He said, because selfish can lead to infidelity. Infidelity means cheating or stepping out. He knows that when we're selfish and we're all focused on us, that we'll end up breaking the covenant and going out and cheating, which is what the children of Israel did. They broke the covenant. They left out of the marriage, the confines, and the beauty of the marriage to experience the paganism of the world, and it led them away from God. He knew that, and he didn't want that to be a hindrance because he knows that sin and cheating and adultery, like in any marriage, can lead to wounds that won't heal. Do y'all agree? So in preparation for that, he said this in verse 12. Let me put verse 12 up. If not, I'll get my magnifying glass out. Okay. He says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. It's his kindness that draws us to repentance, not his destruction. And so he's asking this morning, will you give me more of yourself? He's at the altar with everybody this morning, renewing his vows with each person in the room. And he's saying, I want more of you because I'm giving you all of me. He's saying, I'm renewing my commitments to you. I'm renewing my promises to you. I'm renewing my desire to give you more of me and to be known more by you. What's holding you back from me? What's keeping you away from this marriage that I have from you, for you? My ending points is that God is jealous and he wants all of us, not just part of us and not just our religious activity. And we really, at the end of the day, if we do a self-analysis of ourselves and our life, we have no valid excuse not to know God or to grow closer to him. Like any good salesman could do, God can break down every barrier to us saying no to buying a product. He can eat it up for dinner and throw it away and say, really, what's holding you back from me? And when we accept his vows and his covenant, we are totally forgiven. It's the best place and the best relationship we could ever be in. And so as I close, I want to invite you guys to step into a place of where you can get real with God and not do religious activity, but say, I want more intimacy with you. I want to ask that the Holy Spirit reveal areas in our lives where we may not have been transparent with God, where maybe we not pursue intimacy with him. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that for us this morning. And I want to pray a prayer of repentance for any excuses that we may have said or had in our hearts that have prevented us from going further in our relationship with him, because he's established a very good covenant for us to be the best that we could ever be. And there's nothing that can replace him. If there's anything that's replaced God, replaced Jesus, replaced him, and we've given more authority, anything or any man or any circumstance other than him in our life, I want to pray a prayer of repentance to that, that we've been stepping out on you. We've been cheating on you, God. We've been committing adultery in this marriage on you, and we need to repent from that. And I want to pray a prayer of salvation for those who may not know God or those who may want to rededicate themselves back to God into this relationship, that we can do that. So I want to do like we did last week. If anything's prompted your heart, if anything stirred in your heart and you want to just come up and pray or come up and have a time with God, I want to allow that space to happen, because I think God wants to draw us closer to him this morning in a more intimate way. And so as Tanya plays the last worship song, if you desire prayer, I'm going to just kind of pray. But if you desire prayer, if there's something stirring in your heart and you feel like, man, I really have been stepping away from God or stepping out on God, why don't you just come forward? There's no condemnation. There's no shame. If you desire your bride, your husband, if you desire that deeper relationship with God as his commitment to you, why don't you come forward and acknowledge that and not be ashamed of who he is and get more of him, because he wants more of you. Amen. Amen.